Hi, everybody, and welcome to El Valle Bajo podcast. It's Wednesday, March 23rd. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us again. We got Sal Chagoya and Rene Rodriguez. How you doing, Sal?
Doing good. Thank you.
Rene, how are you, sir?
Good, good.
So it's a very crazy day. Yesterday, there was a school board meeting. We usually don't talk about school board as much here, except in some instances when we have Pablo here. But yesterday was a very, very, you'd think it'd be one thing, but it was Gary Gandara and somebody came out named Rodrigo Martinez, which I guess is not the Rodrigo Martinez that trolls us on Twitter, but another Rodrigo Martinez that ends up being somebody else. And there's a relationship between Mary Gonzalez and Gary Gandara. And it's just craziness. But today, we're not going to talk about that. Okay? We're not going to talk about that till a later date, per se. But today, I'm going to show you something that happened today at that meeting, which is very reflective of things that we see. And it's kind of hard to swallow. So let them introduce who it is, and we'll get back to this video. Can we hear it? Can you guys hear it?
No.
Oh,
we had six.
Let me record a little bit. All right, there we go. Sorry about that.
You're gonna have to raise the volume a little bit.
We had
can you hear it?
Six board members come to transportation. I talked to every single one of them about holiday pay for hourly workers. Never once did any of the six tell me that it was against the law. So I got a school board member to put it on the agenda. Then next thing I know, I hear that it's not allowed to be on the agenda, that it was taken off. I will match my hours with anybody in here. I will match what I do with anybody in here to tell me that we should not be getting holiday pay, that we should still be classified as part-time workers. Anyone want to come down and see what we do for a living? When we get back and we're 30 to 40 bus drivers down, you think we're going to be working part-time? That's not right. And if it was illegal, you should have been up front when we were talking about it, because that was my item that I put on the agenda. And I'm doing it as a worker of transportation for our hourly workers. And if we gotta become full-time workers for that to come through, then we need to be full-time workers, because we sure work the hours. Why aren't we getting? And we also understand about that pandemic bonus. You know how much people have been hurting? If you're gonna do a pandemic bonus, why are you making us all wait? You wanna hear the phone calls that how much people are suffering still? You think we're out of the water yet? When there's no work, we don't make money. We got so many people still in the water trying to pay their bills. But yet alone, when you guys are putting this pandemic bill, that's nice, but why not immediately? You think we go around with a bunch of money? We're suffering. We've been suffering. You guys need to reconsider what you're doing. And if you're gonna do a pandemic bonus, It needs to be immediately. Not in a month. Because in a month, why are you making us wait? That's all. Thanks.
Oh man, that's gut-wrenching. That hurts a little bit. We all had something during this pandemic. I know there's a lot of people that fought for their jobs during the pandemic. And I'm an educator. You guys aren't educators, so it's a different beast. But when somebody tells you that why are you passing it a month from now, a pandemic bonus? Why is it illegal to pay them? You know, it's gut-wrenching. It's hard to swallow. So what do you think?
So that's where I was kind of, when I listened to it, I was kind of trying to figure out if it was that pandemic bonus that they're talking about, or is it the one that from the previous caller, the previous presenter that was there, he mentioned that there was one that they wanted to roll out for like during the election. So I'm not sure if it's the same one or if it's, you know, if it's two different things, but if it's being used for election purposes, then that is wrong. You could feel the pain and you could feel the necessity of this gentleman that he doesn't need it for election season. He needs it now. He needs it now because I'm pretty sure he's probably backed up on his bills. And so then if that bonus is being used to monetize the elections, then SISD doesn't have it. They're not using this, or they're not thinking straight, because as we speak, there's hourly staff or part-time staff, like he identified himself, that he's actually going through some hard times. And so he needs that money now. Right. Now, not in a month when elections are gonna start kicking in.
Right, and that's something that's hard. And let me tell you, a school only functions with bus drivers, cafeteria workers, custodians, teachers' aides, teachers, you know, and that's very hard. And I know the bottom line is the bottom line. If you're not working or something happens, but there's things that need to be done and help people. And it is a pandemic, but when they put it on an agenda item and then they take it off because it's illegal, you know, it's election season. It's just crazy out in SISD. But Renee, you're a private sector guy. You're a business owner. What do you get from this guy, Mr. Tommy Hill?
Well, you know what? I gotta applaud him because it takes a lot of courage, a lot of guts, not just the courage, but to come up and tell your bosses this.
Yeah.
Because essentially, you know, if he could face some repercussions on this,
yeah.
On what he came to the board, you know, but like he said and he mentioned, he spoke to various trustees.
He spoke to
right. So my whole thing is that why is it illegal? That is a bunch of horse crap, because you could put anything on the agenda item to discuss it. And right. That is how you be transparent about this. You bring an agenda item, you discuss it. When it comes, I'll tell you this. When it comes to about a certain individual, an employee, a certain individual, that is illegal. When it comes about people's pay, yes, you can come out and say, we're going to address the issue on salaries for the bus drivers. Yes, you can bring that agenda item. Yes, you can. We right. can talk about giving them, like he was saying, holiday pay. Yes, you can bring that to the agenda item and then discuss all of that an executive session. That's what his executive session is for, to talk about those details about the positions and the employment of the people. But just to come out and say, oh, we're going to take it out because it's illegal. My God, they should remove that attorney, because that is wrong. That is just plain wrong. Or the trustee who brought it, and he should have named the trustee. He should have named the trustee who brought it and then told them that, because it's either the attorney who gave him false information, because you can bring anything and talk about anything, but depending on what you're bringing, there's only certain things that you have to take into executive, like I mentioned. And then the other thing that he say is that it's difficult times. It's difficult times. He's correct in saying they don't need the money next month. Why is next month? Because it's election month. So you want to give it to them a week or two before the election starts, for what? So that they can say, oh, they gave us this money. Thank you.
Right.
You know, I just want to throw out this. When the pandemic hit, we gave $2. We didn't give raises. We gave in a form of working in the COVID time, the employees of the city of Socorro received a $2 stipend.
Wow.
Okay. That's what we did. We didn't bring it under any council member. We didn't do that. We didn't say, oh, this and that. City manager came forward. City manager said, hey, you know what? We should pay. Do it. We all agreed. Council did it as a whole. It wasn't for election employed. It was back then given because you're putting your lives in jeopardy.
Right.
You know, you didn't know at that time how it was transmitted, stuff like that. So I feel his pain. I understand that it might look like a ploy for a election game. And I think that's what it is. They just didn't want to face the music. That's all it was.
And you know, Rene, those are the things that I wish we knew more about, that you did for people in the city of Socorro and the workers of the city of Socorro, because those are things that people need to know about. Now we go back to where they're saying, you know, they want to bring this up, and this man, and it's true, Rene, he is my new hero, because not even anybody of us can today. I would go up against my bosses and tell them, this is what's happening. This is what's happening, Mr. Tommy Hill. And those are things that, I hope I'm saying his name right. And those are things that separate people from everybody else. And those are what true leaders look like, because he went for there for his workers. He went there and said, why are you playing this ploy when we've been suffering since October? And per sources, you know, I know people want to get and they want to get rid of the part-time workers. I've heard that the bus drivers, they were the first on the chopping block. And those are things that you don't do in a pandemic, because yeah, outside on Twitter, everything looks beautiful. But in the inner core of what that district is, it's really rotten to know what's coming out now. And there's a lot of people running right now, but to know that they're letting them get away with it, there is no accountability on leadership. And that's it right there. Mr. Tommy Hill, that's the man that came to say, I'm here for my employees, just like you came and the city of Socorro came for their employees as well. And those are things that get to people, because these are stories that people never know, because not everybody tunes in to a city council meeting, not everybody tunes in to a school board meeting. And we're just here talking about it because we want everybody to know, hey, if you're so interested in helping people, then help them when it was the worst. Help them. I know school districts that hire their employees to clean schools if they're school bus drivers, half day school bus drivers, half day custodians. Why? Because that gives them a full-time job. We're in a pandemic. and this is a ploy, and this is bribery. This is election bribery. If you're going to pass, and let me tell you, Renee, you're a budget guy. I'm not a big budget guy, but it's not in the budget to give anybody a bonus. You know, and how budgets work. It's not in the budget. This would be an illegal budget to do something like that. How would that work if it's not even in the budget? And budgets are done in, I know, in July to get them approved by August. That's the fiscal year, right?
Yeah. And if it, there's some schools that, right, there's not schools, but it just depends on what part of the country you're in. Some just start at the beginning of the year. Some start in October the year, right? And it's for how can I say it? It's to make life easier for like even for the city of Socorro. It's a lot easier for the paperwork. We don't have to be fighting with the vast volume of people doing their taxes because we have to do the same thing, right? So it serves its purpose. But I will say this. When we do the budget, right, we allocate money throughout the year. We can move things around, but we have to do amendments to the budget. Can the school district do the same thing? I'm pretty sure they can. I don't know their system because I'm not in the school realm, right? But if we can do it, they have mechanisms in place for them to change them as well. But what we did when we gave that $2 COVID initiative raise for a certain period of time, we tapped into our reserves,
right,
just to supplement the additional $2 to absorb it, so that we won't absorb it in our budget because our budget was already made. I think that Socorro does have Socorro Independent School District. I believe they also do have a small reserve. If not, then something's wrong in that department. But they should, and I think that's the proper way to go. Is it's not by amending their budget, but I mean, in all honesty, they have been shut down, so their budget really isn't there. So they could maneuver stuff around to even give them that money that they're trying to do, and give it to them way before. Before anything. And you're correct by saying, you know what, if they're part-time employees, yeah, you can, not all of them, and I'm pretty sure, because you got budget constraints, but you got to look at if it's feasible to put some into full-time positions. It's not that very difficult. If they reach a 32-hour week, then they're considered full-time. I mean, it's not that hard. But I guess they have to look at the budget constraint and see if that's one of the reasons, because it means that they're going to have to be able to, for them to get an additional services as employees, as full-time employees.
Right.
And that'll cut into the budget for the school. So you have to really look at why. And the question is always to be asked, why can you not give them holiday pay? You have to ask why. When you get that answer, then you say, well, why can't we make them full-time employees? The question should be, why not? So those are two. Then you get that answer and you keep on going, why? Until you get a concrete answer. Look, if the end of the day is we can't absorb more employees because it's going to cost more in employee salaries and all of the medical, dental, vision, all that. Then it's something that maybe that's the reason. But you have to ask with why. Why can't you? Because those are things that you need to address.
Right.
And unfortunately, if you have a bus driver that really took it to them and say, hey, we are hurting, it's because they haven't done and they haven't cared for their employees. And that is sad.
That's tough. Sal, you got anything to add?
Yes. So today you were bus driver. Tomorrow you might be doing temperature checks.
Right.
And that's what should have happened to these bus drivers. So if kids are not being bussed around, then somebody in leadership should have talked to this group and said, you know what, because of the situation, you're not busing any children, but we do have these, we could accommodate you to be at the front door taking temperature checks, because we do know that some kids are going to school now. And so we do have teachers in the classroom. So then those job descriptions could have been modified for that being said, so they could get some sort of a paycheck per se. You saw that in a lot of the restaurant business per se, a lot of the waitress positions kind of dwindled down because everything was takeout. So again, so today you are, you know, you're a waitress, but now you're going to be manning the drive-thru, right, or you're going to be delivering. I mean, we see, for instance, just pass by Chick-fil-A. I mean, there, everybody's outside. Some are taking orders. Some are giving you the receipt. Some are delivering the food. You got your cooks inside. So everybody's getting a paycheck. And so that is the prime example that we could see where businesses adjusted. So then their folks are being taken care of and they could take something home as a paycheck. And so then this should have occurred as well too. Again, today you're a bus driver, but tomorrow you could have been a screening at the front door or something like that. Or like you said, a custodian. I'm pretty sure that it goes more into sanitizing rooms nowadays than what it used to be prior to COVID. So, I mean, there's things. It's just that leadership needed to identify the areas and how they could make those type of modifications.
And sometimes when you get paid $400,000, $300,000, you forget how it works down there. And that's something that happens. Sal, real quick, did you know that Socorro gave a $2 raise to their employees during the COVID?
No.
No.
Nobody. Well, it wasn't a raise.
It was a supplementation.
It was a stipend. Just for a temporary time.
Exactly.
So we figured it out.
Even if it was only for a year or only 6 months, that's the way you help out our community, especially like our employees in the city of Socorro. Okay, guys. Next, we're moving on to something we brought up last week. And I wanted to make sure that the evidence is always there on what things we do around here. And here we go. Let me see if I can share this real quick with you guys. Yeah, here it is. Let me make a big screen. We're not good at all this yet, but let's see. Let's listen to this. This is Mr. Duran.
I've been waiting for, so I'm going to nominate myself.
I've already had a very, very good working relationship with Dr. Gonzalez, who is our state rep. I also know Cesar Blanco very well. And I know a lot of the people that, and if you have a good relationship with them, it's easier to get in their front door and they'll tell you what's really happening behind the scenes. So I'd like to be that person to be able to report back.
So there you have it. It's easier to get to their front door. And what was the back part?
Oh, in order to know what's going on the back.
Behind the scenes. We're not making this stuff up. We're not making this stuff up. This is what really happened. This is what, you know, it happens. There's the evidence. And I want to show you more evidence of the thing that it is here. Here's a letter, you know, and thank you for contacting my office regarding your concern for government transparency and a comment made during the January 21st, 2021 City Council meeting. I appreciate you taking the time to write to me in such an important matter. I admit those comments also came to a surprise to me, as I am not aware of such conversations. I hate to beat a dead horse. I really do. And that's signed by Cesar J. Blanco, our state senator. I hate to beat a, I hate it. But there was questions. People were like, and now here we are with evidence. Renee, what do you think?
Hey, it's you know, I've always said that it's easy to be in counsel and spew lies, and people will eat it up. And it's good that we're bringing it up and saying, hey, you know, this isn't true. Unfortunately, he makes it sound that he's better than everybody, and he makes it sound that he's in the know because he knows people. Look, people know people. Let's get that straight.
Yeah.
You know, I've been in council for 7 years. You know, I know more politicians than he, not because of me, but because I've been there longer. So of course I'm going to know more people. But just because I know them doesn't mean I really know them. I don't have a relationship like we're going to go have a cookout at your house and I'm going to go over here and have a cookout at your house. No, very seldom. I know some politicians personally, but not like what they're saying is that I don't have conversations in the, you know, knowing what was behind the scenes and stuff. But I mean, you know, unfortunately, he creates this illusion so he can be in that board, and unfortunately, you know, he's creating problems for Mary, the state rep, Mary Gonzalez, and Cesar Blanco. And good thing that Cesar Blanco responded to you with a letter.
Yeah, and I'm very grateful for that for our senator, and much more respect for him for actually answering to her constituent. You know, Sal, your buddy and mine and Renee's favorite councilman was caught lying. What do you think?
So this guy is not only poniéndole crema a sus tacos, pero le quiso echarle chile también en the process.
¿Quién quiere, papá? ¿Quién quiere?
¿De qué tipo de carne quieres? ¿Sirloin o tripitas?
Oh,
man, this guy is something else. So, I mean, what is there to say? I mean, he said what he said. You got the letter. It got debunked. And
hey, like, he didn't show up to the meeting, bro. What happened there?
It's otra mentira. So maybe we need to send that letter to Ralph so he could just see it with his own eyes that he got busted.
This is sad, man. This is sad. You know, in this world, it doesn't matter who you know, because we all die alone at the end.
That's right.
And if you want to tell somebody, I know this person, it doesn't matter, because you know what? Right now, you haven't brought anything to the constituents. The constituents don't know what you've done. You've sued the city once. You have two settlements. And you, Ralph Waco Tanks, cost us $10,000. You cost the money and the taxpayer a lot of money. You know, these are things that people will know and figure out, because God dang, what have you brought? Lies? You know, those are things that happen, and I don't know, man. It's crazy. So moving on, we go back to our city meeting this week that just passed on the 18th. We did pretty much breeze by the meeting, and this is why Renee always says, please put backup on the whatever you bring to council, because we did a real quick layover on what happened with the pet grooming. Okay, we didn't know what happened. We didn't know what happened until the show came out, and people were like, you didn't say this, you didn't say that, and this is what happened. Well, we didn't know what happened. That's the problem. In the meeting, they talked about it, about what happened, and we're gonna share it with you. It's a sad story. Things like this make me sad, because my daughter has her doggy, and that makes me sad too, because those are things that I wish nobody would have to go through. So listen to this. This is Gustavo Vasquez. That tells us of this story.
After my dog, I took him to a local grooming club.
Can't hear it at all.
You can see what happened was I was misinformed about what was happening with her at the grooming place. I was told that she was having a panic attack and she was sent to the bed. But everything was totally opposite. It caused her to have a stroke. And this happened Saturday and Sunday she passed away. So I just think this is something that should really be approved because I don't want anyone else to be dealing or going through what I've been going through these past days since her passing.
So that was Mr. Gustavo Vasquez talking about what happened to his puppy. Not a puppy, but his dog. It died. And he didn't mention where it happened. The story made it Channel 7 yesterday. I know we lost my daughter's puppy one night, and we were heartbroken. So I don't understand, you know, and we've discussed it here. We're all pet owners. And now we see the reason why. Now we see the reason why. I mean, but it should always be like that because our pets are an extension of our family. And I know that if something were to happen to our, we did put our dog down a long time ago when we had my wife's first dog, and we have our dogs now. And if something were to happen to them, we'd be heartbroken. So this is something that was brought up, Sal. You're a puppy owner, dog owner. What do you think after hearing that story?
I mean, it's unfortunate of what happened, and anybody that would have been in that person's shoes would have also felt that loss and that sentiment. So, I mean, it's great that he was given the opportunity to speak on it. But with us, we didn't have any information. We didn't know why was this being discussed, you know, the adoption. So it is very important that some sort of a backup needs to be provided so the public actually knows what's going to be discussed, and if they would like to add during the opportunity that they're allowed to speak on it, then that would be great. But when you're just going into the fly and just, you know, trying to find out why it was brought up, what was happening, then it doesn't give you that much preparedness as a speaker in city council to actually say what needed to be said. I mean, it could have been in this topic could have been taken in a lot of different directions in the sense that protecting the animals, but then you're also going against these type of small businesses. So then it could have just been a lot of different emotions or a lot of different sentiments of how this agenda item was gearing to. And so then that's why you want to have that transparency so you could actually know what's going to be discussed and why is it meant to be part of a discussion in the agenda.
Right. Thank you. Yeah. Renee, what do you think?
You know what? It's sad that this occurred. I feel bad for the owner, for his dog. You know, I love my dog, Ross. Every time, you know, we leave and we come back, my boy always says, Roscoe Pico train, you know? And it's funny to me, and you know, and he loves his dog. And I mean, it would hurt me as a dog owner to take your dog, entrust your dog to a groomer, and then find out that this happened because of negligence. Right. So it's of course it's going to be devastated. I can just imagine how I would feel, but I mean I would imagine how my son would feel. Right. So you know, it's about the backup, and we've always discussed this even with the keys with Mr. Yeah, Reyes, right, where he didn't like what he was told. And there was no backup of why they were bringing these items. And it's very important. It's very important to have backup for the end, the items that you're putting in the agenda, so that we can be aware and know your intentions of why you're bringing it.
Right.
You know, we didn't know what was it. I mean, so we couldn't really discuss it. We just thought, oh, okay, well, they're just bringing it up just because they have nothing better to do.
Right.
And now we find out that it was a constituent who wanted some justice for his loss, which is great. You know, I mean, that's something that if the city can help him with, of course. And if we can't, if they couldn't, you know, in this case, but they could do something about future incidents and putting things in place so that all the groomers in the city of Socorro will be liable. So that is something that is good, that I applaud that they took the steps. Unfortunately, this incident had to happen for them to do this. I mean, I know that groomers were, even when I was in council, and nothing was going on at our time, you know, unfortunately, you know, we could have done something back then too to prevent this, but you know, we're not aware. We're not always all over the city as we would want to, because there's so many issues. I'm glad that it came to council and they're doing something about it. So.
Awesome. Yeah. And like we talked about last time, Sal told us about his groomers and what they tell you and how their transparency. I think that everybody should take note of that, because let me tell you, you hurt a dog or you hurt, that's really heartbreaking for the family. Moving on, item 19 of the city council was very interesting because of what was said. It was very interesting. I liked it. And let's see what happened here. Let's play it. Here we go.
Can you guys hear me? I'm here asking council to allow us to amend section 46.1 definition and the ordinance 28.2. If you guys have the backup on the section 46.1 definition, and it's gonna be number 2, keeping, storing, accumulating rubbish, including newspaper, abandoned vehicles, refrigerators, stoves, furniture, tires, and cans on premises for 10 days. I wanted to reduce the 10 days for 3 days. And it says, or more, unless the rubbish or object is completely enclosed in a building or is not visible to public street. So that's one of them. The number 4, allowing wheat, which we're gonna include grass, and we're talking about the height of it. I'll continue reading. Wheat, mean, all rack and uncultivated vegetation grown or matter that has grown more than 36 inches in height. And then that one, I would like to lower it for it to be 6 inches in height, or may create an unsanitary condition or become a harbor for rodents, vermin and other diseases carrying pets, regardless of the height of the weed. And
all right. So we go back. They come back. They talk about it. Sal, we talked about this before.
Did he say rotten?
Rotten.
I heard rotten.
Rotten.
He meant to say rotten. Because I couldn't hear. Because it was low. That's why I was like paying attention. But he said rotten. And I think he meant to say rodents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. So this is something we all agreed. Hey, this is something good that we want to do, right? This is something we want to do. This is one thing we want to have. You know, where do we go from here? Because we have... city, and let's move on to that. Okay, we all agreed this is a good thing. We all agreed we want to have this. Now it's hard, and Sal brought it up last time. It's hard when you're telling people to, and Renee, you as well said, hey, well, shouldn't we be holding ourselves accountable during this time? Because that's what we're trying to do. But some people don't show up to meetings and are not held accountable. So those are the things that we're here to talk about. So let's listen to what they say.
We've been through this over and over and over, but I don't see that we've changed the
order. This is Miss Colombia Lobos, okay?
In any way, shape, or form, in order to shorten the warning that we give them, or you know, the allowable time that we give our constituents. You know, and you know, Ms. Rodarte, you know, I get those phone calls all the time, and I bring them to you. But, and you know, they think that by coming to their district representative, complaining to us about, you know, well, they're asking me, but if you look at your own property, you know, it's full of weeds, or if you look at, I get this a lot, if you look at a certain district representative, you guys do nothing about his properties, and you want me to comply, and so...
Ay Dios, ay Dios, a certain district representative, look at his weeds. Sal, I'm gonna start with you because I don't know if you know who that is.
But no other than our buddy Ralph Duran. And hold on, so
hold on. Ah, it goes back to that. That's not what I want. That's not what I want. I don't know how to do. Okay, so it's Ralph Duran. Sal, que rollo con tu buddy, man?
Yeah, so like I mentioned the last time, I actually had constituents talk to me in regard to that. And I told them, they say, hey, tell the judge that it needs to be fair in that sense that we have district representatives and city council that have property that are not cleaned up. And so if they're going to be considered grandfathered in, then let them know, let the judge know that you're being grandfathered in. So one of the things that I, you know, listening to the video, also caught on that I think it was Ms. Colon also was mentioning that is the judge being educated with the city ordinances.
Yes.
As Ms. Rodarte mentioned in the lines that it all depends on the judge. She could extend it to 30 days. She could extend it to no fine or, you know, whatever it might be. But that's where I also saw a discrepancy that if city council is passing all these ordinances to beautify the city, but then if the judge is not enforcing it, then it defeats the purpose.
Right.
So I think that not only city council, but the judge also has to be intertwined with what's being agreed upon, because that's the only way you're going to have people be held accountable for. And speaking to somebody yesterday, I mentioned it. Let's say, I've been here in my household for the past 14 years. I don't see Socorro being beautified in the next 10 years, in the 20 years. I might not even see it at my old age to see it where I could say, wow, Socorro is finally beautified. And so that's very disheartening. Because, you know, we might not even see the fruits of these ordinances that are being passed or they are being discussed because there's no accountability. So we live in some subdivisions that we have lights, we have roads, we have parks, we have drainage, we have sidewalks. And so that makes it look nice. These subdivisions make Socorro look nice. And yes, we paid a hefty price to have those amenities. But once you leave the subdivision and you looked around in our area, when you look at old Moon City or Moon Road, then it just kind of gives you that nuisance per se, that, man, I'm paying, you know, for a nice place to live. And then because every district has it, every district, 1, 2, 3, 4, has subdivisions that are coming in, but they have the old mentality. And so, yes, they're passing all these ordinances. They want to beautify it, but we will never see Socorro beautified because it has taken so many years. It has, and it's going to take even further years to get it to the level of Horizon. Right. And I know that people don't like that comparison. And Horizon, they're out of our league already. We are not in their league. And sorry to say, it might rub people the wrong way, but we're not in their league. We're in the league of Sparks. Sparks, actually, if you go out there, they actually have lights and they have drainage and they have roads and sidewalks. And we don't have that stuff. We don't. No. And so you have to live in a subdivision in order to enjoy those amenities. Because if you don't, then you don't have it. If you live in the old sections of Socorro, you don't have it.
Right.
So, you know, it's a hard discussion. It's a discussion that, I mean, maybe a lot of people will not enjoy discussing it, but it's the reality, guys. It's the reality. And so, hey, I mean, they're trying to pass these ordinances, beautify it, but it doesn't, to me, it doesn't really matter. It's going to take a long time to beautify Socorro.
Right. Rene.
You know, so I'm in total agreement with you. You know, unfortunately, these ordinances should start with oneself. You know, if you played the video again, when Ms. Villalobos said it about another council member, you saw the reaction of Mr. Nevarez, and you saw the reaction of Mr. Mike Medina, because yeah, they know who we're talking about. We're talking about Ralph Duran for District 2, who has a, for a better lack of words, you know, a just a horrible, you know, house, I guess. You know, it's not kept up. You know, like I said, it starts with one. You know, this issue about Socorro lagging in its beautification. Yes, it's going to take many years. I agree with you. I don't think we'll ever see it ourselves, but it's because, and I'm gonna even go take one step further than you, Mr. Chagoya. It's the same residents. That's their fault. They want to live like pig pens. They want to live in a pig farm, because how many? You have cars on top of their landscaping. Those aren't brand new cars. Yeah, I don't see no Ferraris or Lamborghinis, right? I don't see no BMWs or Mercedes-Benz or Cadillacs. You know, I see 1985 Dodges, and I see, you know, 2004, you know, Chevys and Fords and stuff, that the motor leaks. Transmission leaks oil. Where is it going? To your property. You see 18-wheelers even in new subdivisions, Mr. Seguilla, even in your subdivision, you know? So whose fault is it? It's all of the residents. They want to live like pigs. That's how they live. And unfortunately, you know, the city and the council has to look bad to implement and push all of these. But it starts with one. It starts in-house, like I said it last time. You know, we have to have our house beautified so that we can set the example for all our neighbors. Go look at my house. I live on a mobile home, a But by golly, man, people, me chulean mi house because, you know, my wife is there 24/7 cleaning it by the time I get there. You know, I seldom cut my grass because my wife beats me to it. And because I'm a workaholic. You know, when I get home and before she, I get it, but the majority of the time she does it. My house is maintained. So it has to start with oneself before we start pushing it on our residents. And unfortunately, you know, Mr. Ralph Duran, you know, lives in a pig pen. And you know, he got to change to have Mike Medina change the ordinance. I don't know why he tackled that ordinance before all of the damn ordinances I put in place. I've always said that, but he got grandfathered in with that big ass shipping container in the front yard. What about the other residents? You know, they're it's a sore eye for his subdivision, and it's sad.
And something I question too, Renee, is it precedence? Is it because the judge gave a certain time to somebody else, and then she starts saying no? Is that what she did? Is set precedence?
Okay, let's start with that, because I know I went off the rockers, but I will say this: state law trumps local law, right?
Right.
So we can implement some laws, but we also have to look at what the state says. So if the state says you can allow the opportunity, people have 12 days.
Right.
Right. We can't say 10 days. We can't say 11 days. We can't say 11 days and 11 hours. You know, no, it's got to be 12, just like the state. Now we can say, well, we can give you 2 additional days, right? But yeah, we cannot touch what they say. It has to be more along the lines. If the state says that, you know what, 3 days is short and that's why we gave you 30 days, well, the state trumps ours. So the way the judicial system works is that we as a city, a body, cannot go into the judicial system, which is the judgeship, and tell her how to do or run her court, how to extend or shorten the timing. We can't go across that aisle. We can't, because we don't have that authority. It's against the law for us to go and tell her how to run her stuff. We can say, like, for example, when we hire a judge, we can say, you know what, we want you to be here more time. Therefore, you can, and I already thought about what I would do if I had another opportunity. So I'll just leave it at that, because I don't want to say what my plans are for the future. Right. But and I don't want to give anybody no ideas because they're mine, and I know how we could do to tackle certain situations. But like I said, is the state has its own times, its own, like, for example, you can't find somebody a ridiculous amount of money because it's already capped by the state.
Right.
So the state can say, well, you can match it. Some don't go as far. Like, for example, when you see the state highway and you see that if they catch you for littering, it's up to like, what, 5,000 or something like that? Not too sure. 1,000? Well, that's the cap. You know, you can't go higher than that. So you already capped. So you have to follow those rules. And unfortunately, you know, council should have, and Mr. Reyes should have looked at before he brings it up, because if there is a conflict, the state will trump what they want to do.
Right, right, right. Sal, any last words?
Yeah, so just making that addition, they did discuss that in the meeting as well too. If I'm not mistaken, I think it was Mr. Medina who brought it up that there are certain things that, you know, you have to follow the state. So, you know, in conclusion, it's true what Rene was just saying, that in that sense, then Mr. Reyes should have done his homework, in the sense that if let's say, for instance, you know, you get caught with your front yard grass so high, and instead of reducing it to 3 days, and if it is a state law requirement that everybody gets 10 days, so then there was no need to change it, because at the end of the day, everybody wants to get off some sort of a ticket. For those that do the research, we'll look, we'll Google it, we'll look to see if they could find a loophole. So you could find that loophole and present it to the judge, and the judge is going to say, oh yeah, you got this from the state. Yeah. So then I'm going to throw this away. So then here we go, making policies or making ordinances that do not coincide with what the state is putting out. And so then you're just wasting people's time and effort to put ordinances that don't have any backup, any meat in that sense to in order for the judge to hammer it down. So I mean, the effort was there, but then you got to have the facts in order to make sure that you are in compliance with the state.
Right. Thank you, Sal. Renee, last words.
I just want to say that, you know, I'm glad that they're bringing some items to clean up the city. We brought some too. That's how I know that there is a time constraint that we can and can't do, and how we enforce. But I think that in other ways, the city manager should have a conversation with the judge and see what she thinks, and then go and move forward in that way, because like I said, you know, members of council should not cross that line. There is a law that prevents them from doing it. You cannot go and dictate and mandate judicial section of the law. So, you know, they have to be walking on eggshells before they cross that bridge. So I just say, you know, do your homework. Do your homework. That's all I ask, is don't look dumb. Just do your homework and try to be good stewards.
Right. And thank you, Renee. Thank you, Sal, for joining me. You know, just reflecting back on what we talked about today, my new hero is Tommy Hill. And like Renee said, he went against his bosses and he really told them, why now? Why only when election season's coming? We're suffering, and that's heartbreaking. I mean, he carried all the transportation on his back, and he said, I'll lead you guys no matter what happens to me. So to Mr. Tommy Hill, you're my new hero. You really, really are. You know, we go back and we talked about Mr. Duran's lie about knowing Mr. I don't know about Mary Gonzalez because she hasn't answered us, but I do know about Cesar Blanco. Thank you, Mr. Senator, for clearing that up. We did bring the evidence today, so it is what it is. And rest in peace to the dog that passed away. We're sorry to hear that. We should have more restrictions and limitations to our dog grooming. And to back to Mr. Duran again, you know, if you're not going to show up to meetings, because I know you've missed a lot of meetings, right, Renee? Now that he's missing a couple now.
Yeah. And unfortunately, he's missing out on being called out, because those are the things that are coming into light, and he sees the agenda. Oh, it's cleaning. Well, they might hit me up on my properties or my house.
Yeah. And those are things that he's missing out on. And also Ernie Reyes is also Gomez, Ernie Gomez, right? Gomez,
yes.
Mr. Gomez has missed all the planning and zoning as well. So, yeah.
So he should be kicked out now.
he should be kicked out now. Hopefully they do that. I don't think so, because they have Enrique Cisneros in there, who is buddies with Ralph and ran on the same ticket. Not the same ticket, but they use the same MO on election season for them as well. It is what it is. I commend Ms. Villalobos for calling Duran out about his property. I can only guess about her house. She's a realtor, so I bet she it's spotless or has to be nice or something like that. So
it is. Her house is kept up.
Yeah, that you know.
I'm gonna say that. Yes.
I would assume because she's a realtor as well, so she knows what it needs to look like.
Yeah, yeah. So she does do her up cleaning in her house, and yes, it's very nice. And the only one is Mr. Duran, who not only his property looks like a dump, but the rest of his properties too. So.
Yeah, so we did put, I remember that we asked about that back in the day when he tried to screw the people from Croker Road.
Yes.
And we said, hey, what about your house, bro? And somehow it disappeared. And then we lost the city planner or something like
that. Oh, movie. Yes, we did. We did.
We did, because he didn't want
to. We lost the city planner to Las Cruces. They gave him more money and, you know, and he took it. I don't blame him.
Yeah, it is what it is, guys. So for Sal Chagoya, Rene Rodriguez, thank you very much for joining us, guys. Of course, always watch what they do, not what they say. Always, 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 because let me tell you, we're bringing evidence and they're not liking it. You guys have a good evening. Bye-bye.
Bye.